Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. Small Business Advocate, I'm glad you're here. Jim Ostroff is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Jim is an outstanding member of our Brain Trust. He is associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors. He's here today to talk to us about the most recent Kiplinger letter, which they published on Friday, and it's now part of our world, and we're talking about the issues that Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world. And Jim Ostroff, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning, Jim, and good morning, everybody.
It's good to have you back, Jim, as always. Right out of the box, Jim, you guys say that you think the economy is going to turn around by fall. I'm actually seeing, I'll get you to tell us what you mean turn around, because I'm actually seeing a little bit of optimism, a little glimmer of light, a little bit of less dour attitudes, and I'm talking to people all over the country. I have been now, really polling people anecdotally for the last 30 days or so, and it's starting to sound a little, let me put it this way: we don't like the number that we have, but we like the trend. What do you think?
Absolutely. It's the same thing. We're seeing much of that as well. And, I got to say, we think certainly by the fall, the numbers will, during one of those months, the numbers actually will be there to show growth, to show, in that case, it has to be 3 months, of course, but at least a real positive sign in the economy.
So when you say turnaround, you don't mean indicators in the right direction. You mean an actual positive GDP quarter.
What I was going to say, we see one or more months being positive. And again, exactly that. There have to be three consecutive months, a quarter, to supposedly say that the recession is over, not that it can't start again, but as opposed to, current times when we're still seeing GDP decline, that's about to halt and we'll see growth.
Well, the thing that we have to remember, and you guys have talked about this in your work, and we've talked about it together, not to try to turn a skunk loose in the Tea Party here, folks, but the thing is that we still lost, 525,000 jobs last month? Only 10,000 less, I think, than the month before, or something like that. But that's still a half million people, and on top of already millions of people who've lost their jobs in the last 18 months or so, and as long as we're heading in that direction, and with an economy that's 70% supported by the consumer, and that consumer, even the ones who have jobs, have less credit than they had, and they've changed their spending behavior. This economy is, I don't think this economy, even with all of the optimism and the good spirits of American, the American attitude, I don't see this as being a fast and furious recovery. What do you think, Jim?
Yes, agree, and that's why we've looked at this as well, and of course, and because that's what Kipling does specifically, and basically say, really, it'll be 2010 when we see the groundwork laid for a recovery. It will begin in 2010, but it's going to be very slow. It's going to be bumpy and uneven. And the point here is, it's not like suddenly say, okay, next year 3-5% growth.
We're not going to be off to the races next year.
I read
in the Wall Street Journal in the last couple of weeks or so. Some of the economists that they polled said that, it could take 4 to 6 years to really get back to where we were. And, Jim, even though I don't like that number, the truth is we've got a lot of healing to take care of. We've got a lot of broken parts to our economy, that like the housing issue, like the credit situation, like the commercial real estate issue. We've got a lot of broken pieces that have to be put back together. And I'll tell you, I think it's probably not going to be a bad thing if we do that with discipline and with patience and do it right. What do you think?
Agreed. And I say, thing is, it's not like suddenly we're at home, the lights went out for an hour, and they come back, and we say, oh, okay, everything's fine. No. We, you know, the circuit's shorted out. We had fire in the basement, et cetera, mm-hmm. and fire on the moon. And so we, you know, really need to do this. It's not simple, you know, and there are a lot of pieces, a lot of moving pieces, and again, do it right. And personally, I should say the worst thing, as we know, that could be done is that basically just to say, okay, you know, we've thrown trillions of dollars at this, and, oh, let's just go back to the way things were. It can't happen. And also, of course, you need to build up the confidence again. I mean, we're beginning
well,
to...
Well, that's the thing that I worry about, Jim, is that the government, for political purposes, because they can't stand the... They want to be seen as the heroes of the day of this four-year period, or even two-year period, that the government would throw so much ill-advised money at this problem rather than letting the economy, you know, heal itself with a little bit of help.
Right.
It worries me. I'm really more worried about the consequences, and unintended as they may be, of our government's actions. I'm more worried about that than I am about the economy's ability to heal itself. What do you think?
I, unintended and inflation, many unintended consequences. And I should say, of course, there is some concern here. I mean, you know, the United States will throw, we think, eventually around $5 trillion at this. And
wow.
Actually, having the mouths of babes and children always ask the simplest things, and some nephews said, well, where did they get the money for this?
Yeah. I said,
they print it effectively. The only one who can do that.
And we're going to talk about that in a second. One of the things that you guys point out that we're going to talk about when we come back are some of the areas that are going to start becoming more positive. And one of them is technology. And another one, believe it or not, is housing. And we're going to talk about some of those. We got some issues that you need to keep your eye on, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll talk about that right after these messages and more to come. A lot more issues that are on the table that affect you and me in our small business. Here's Chicago to take us out. Jim Ostroff and I will be right back. Robert Cray bringing us back, my favorite blues man. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for using it to your advantage. We appreciate that. You can check out my blog, which is right there off the homepage. And you can also, and by the way, my blog post, the one I just posted yesterday, is about getting capital for your business, especially angel capital. And so check that out when you get a chance, and leave a comment when you get there, too. And, of course, you can check out my newsletter is there. You can subscribe to that. I hope you'll do that. And my knowledge base, AskJim.biz, is right there. Archives, articles, Brain Trust members, lots of stuff. 5 seconds, 1 minute, 6 minutes, 15 minutes, we got something that will help you. So check that out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Jim Ostroff is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors. I'll get that out correctly in a minute. Jim, we've been talking about the economy and what is the recovery going to start looking like. I like the fact that you pointed out the technology angle in the recovery, mm-hmm. because, Jim, CapEx, capital expenditures by companies, has been off a lot lately. So there are two things going on, I think, and I think you guys report on this a little bit. Number one is just the need to upgrade period.
Right. Right.
But number two, the new technologies are coming down the pike. So I think you guys are right. I think technology is going to be a leader out of this recession. What do you think?
Yes. And as we know, it is essential to business today, no matter what you do, you know, to have, if nothing else, to have the ability to have the best information that you need for your business. And, that, of course, that's enabled by IT, information technology.
Mm-hmm.
So, no surprise, I mean, this sector of spending has been down about 25% so far this
mm-hmm.
year. And so, since it is so vital and it has been off dramatically this year, you know, for instance, we see a spending to buy, well, overall increase in this sector of about 25% next year. At least that is in production. But overall spending for IT will be up
mm-hmm.
because, and of course, versus a year periods beginning somewhere in 08 where it plunged and went through the floor.
Right. Well, and folks, as you think about technology, think about as you buy new technology and as you contemplate new technological strategies for your business, I want you to keep in mind the concept of cloud computing. And the reason I say that is because cloud computing is going to be a great
mm-hmm.
philosophy, a great concept for small businesses, because it allows you to not have to own and capitalize the processing power. You can buy it in increments and literally use it as you need it from the provider. And so think about that. And if you don't know what cloud computing is, you can just do some research on it. You can find a lot of information on that. I've talked about it on this show quite a bit and have done some webinars on it as well. Jim, let's move down. One of the things that you actually say that that housing starts will have a fast pace, but they've got a little catching up to do, don't they?
Yes, it's all in the comparison. You know, the housing starts will grow from a very low number, 500,000 this year, to it could be 825, maybe 850,000 next year. You know, that's a big increase, but it's still running 45% below the long-term trend of 1.5 million starts. Obviously, though, that the increase next year is good news, you know, for so many, the economy
mm-hmm.
at large, real estate people, but obviously building and construction industry and suppliers who have been very, very hard hit.
You know, Jim, I was just in Vegas the last few days, and I was reading the Vegas newspaper with some of the real estate ads. And I'll tell you what, if you're moving to Vegas and you got some money and you got a job, it's a good time to buy a house. They were like $700,000-$800,000 houses for half price.
That's right.
$500,000 house, half price
mm-hmm.
for $250,000. I mean, or a $295,000 house for $125,000. I mean, I saw that in the papers, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
And but so even though they may be recovering, the prices are still depressed in a lot of places.
Well, and again, that, you know, we're talking about, you know, over a recovery in terms of building new homes and in selling existing ones.
Right.
But the thing is, basically, you know, the market eventually works, and it's adjusting. Nevada, much of California, Florida
especially,
Florida.
Yeah.
So, you know, the same type of
right
monumental increases in sale prices in
right.
You know, 5, 6, 7, and it was out of line.
Jim, so, I want to wrap up this segment on the commercial real estate. That's one more shoe that we're going to have to deal with, isn't it? It's going to drop.
Well, yeah. And commercial real estate sort of lagged the decline we saw
yeah.
in commercial, but it's occurring. It's very brisk, and we got to get that out of the way.
That's another shoe, ladies and gentlemen, that has not really dropped yet. That we're going to have to absorb. The economy's going to have to absorb some contraction in the commercial real estate industry over the next 12 months or so. That we're all going to have to you know, deal with. 29 after, I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. But there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blassingay, the small business advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you did that. If you've been listening already, we especially appreciate that. Jim Ostroff is our guest, our good friend, associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Jim, over on page 2, you guys talk about some of the currency issues that are going on right now. The dollar is having a hard time right now. Part of the reason is because gold is almost reaching a new record. I don't know what it did yesterday, but earlier in the week it got near a record high, didn't it?
Yes, it did. And of course, you know,
doesn't that foretell inflation?
Well, it may. It depends, you know, if this is a longer term, if that is a trend, and if gold prices continue to move up. You know, and we're talking here for many, many months. That often means that inflation is around the corner. This reflects, ultimately, the thing is over here. It reflects a certain sentiment, confidence, or lack thereof. It is sort of an indicator in some way.
Well, see, this is the thing that you know, you mentioned yourself earlier in the hour. You said something about $5 trillion that they're going to throw at this economic situation we got. That's money that has to be printed. I mean, that's money that we don't have. We have to borrow that money, and that kind of debt. I mean, any business or any household that has that kind of leverage to their scenario is a weakened organization and financially, and so therefore their currency, so to speak, and in our case our real currency is going to have less value. And Jim, this could become a vicious spiral.
I tell you, people are very concerned about it, aware of it. I mean, certainly at the Fed and at Treasury. They're saying that inflation, maybe hyperinflation, could be the big and bad story a year or two down the road, and which is why you hear said the thing. All right, as soon as we're sure that this recession and downturn is over, yeah, the Fed will begin hiking interest rates. They know. I mean, certainly many actually literally remember the situation in the 70s and early 80s.
I sure do,
and they remember also how ruinous that was. Everything for people, investments. I mean, it just incredibly skewed everything and made life miserable.
This is an important thing for you to understand, folks, as you plan the growth of your business, as you contemplate acquiring inventory and equipment, as you finance your real estate, anything you do financially, you should keep an eye on what the trends in inflation are, because it's going to have an impact on your business more than you know if you don't. Jim, let's move down and talk about regulations. One of the things that we've been seeing a lot out of our government is a desire for the government to control, to rein in executive pay in major corporations. Talk to us about your report on this.
You know, the thing is that we've looked at this and believe that, you know, Congress and the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, really want to put a lid on executive pay. And I have to see if we believe that what Congress and the SEC will do will be basically give the green light to shareholders, enable them, empower them to, you might say, do the job, to actually get various things on shareholder ballots.
I'd like the idea of shareholders having more say in how people are compensated. I do believe that a lot of CEOs have been overcompensated. It does bug me when a CEO totally fails and then leaves with a multi-million-dollar golden parachute. I don't think that's we shouldn't be rewarding bad performance. But the idea of the government weighing in on this it doesn't make me happy to see the government trying to do this themselves. But you know, Jim, one of the things that I know is that if the government knew how much an awful lot of small business owners were paying themselves right now,
yeah,
I think they would say, "Hey, you guys need to give yourselves a raise."
A raise. and you know, the thing is, we feel at the end of the day that lawmakers will, in a sense, walk away. That, you know, they won't go and establish some type of arbitrary caps on salaries. There is an understanding. You do that, and what it means is that many really talented executives and potential executives are just going to walk away.
Hold on to that thought, Jim. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back after these messages with Jim Ostroff, we're going to talk about one of the things is something called trade credit insurance. Do you know about that? Do you have that? You might want to look into it. We'll talk about that after these messages. Welcome back. It's 17 till. Little Steely Dan bringing us back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for staying with us. Jim Ostroff is with us. Jim is our good friend and longtime member of our Brain Trust, associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and their website is kiplinger.com. I hope you'll check that out. It's an outstanding website. Lots of good stuff there. And if you want to know more about what they report on, if you want to have some more direct and keener insights, a little more extensive information, all you got to do is become a subscriber, and you can not only have access to their website, more of their website, but also to their publications like the Kiplinger Letter that Jim and I work off of, and Joan Pride and I work off of every week. And that's the flagship letter, been around since 1923. That's how long Kiplinger has been a family-owned American small business. And then, of course, they've got the six. No, not six. They got four. Is it four or five? I always forget. Let me take them off here, ladies and gentlemen. That'll help. The California letter. These are the biweeklies, ladies and gentlemen. The California letter, the tax letter, the agriculture letter, and the biofuels letter, which I'm still trying to get them to change to the alternative fuels letter. And then you got that magazine, Jim.
We have, you know, Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine, which was the first, and we think is still the best personal finance magazine, too.
It is a flagship of the industry. And all that's available at Kiplinger.com. And also a phone number, Jim.
Yeah, there's a toll-free number, 800-544-0155.
And don't forget to ask them for that 30-day free trial. Hey, Jim, let's move down and talk about some things that are going on that are really creating some other issues. Corporate bankruptcies have been on the rise. You guys report there's 55,000 corporate bankruptcies in 2009. Now, the economy, the marketplace will absorb those bankruptcies, as it always has. But what's happening, some of these bankruptcies, some of the larger ones, are abandoning. In the bankruptcy, they basically abandon their benefits commitments that they made to their employees, and so that falls back on the government, doesn't it?
Which certainly does, and you know, ultimately here by law, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corp. (PBGC) is responsible for taking over responsibility for these pension plans, and of course, the concern there is that
for example, Jim, they took over when United went bankrupt. They took that over. Who else? I've forgotten what other.
And I mean, there were many. LTV Steel, which is long gone. Every when they have these big companies that go bust and they walk away from their pension plans, the PBGC takes over. And of course, the concern over here is that at some point they will not have enough full faith and credit backing of the government, and we'll face another thing here where somehow the U.S. will have to go and say, we're responsible for an additional, for instance, you know, $100 billion.
Well, and see, and this, and Jim, this all plays into what we talked about earlier about the devaluation of the currency.
Right.
This exacerbates that, doesn't it?
At some point, you know, what happens here is the government says, okay, and now we're going to take another $500 billion.
Right.
And someone eventually has to pay for it. They pay for it by printing money.
Right. Jim, one of the things you guys reported, and I thought this was very interesting, one of the most interesting parts of the letter this week, is that the Chrysler and GM bankruptcies, those pension obligations are going to, I guess they're going to be covered by the PBGC, but you're saying they're going to keep it off the books? How does that work?
The government...
This sounds like Enron, Jim.
The government has just decided, the government deciding, and is the government, that they can do that. They don't have to include those obligations.
Didn't Ken Lay and Schilling and all those guys and Enron, didn't they get prosecuted for having off balance sheet assets?
Well, they did, but they don't run the government.
Am I being unfair in my comparison?
Well, I gotta say that, you know, they do all sorts of financial prestidigitation here.
You mean like the IOUs for the money they stole from the Social Security Fund?
Well, and they folks being
our political class.
And not only that, but everything from. I got to say, from the nuclear power industry, the postal service, there is this constant shell game going on where many hundreds of billions of dollars is sort of obligated this and that, but somehow it finds its way to the government and it's a plus. It offsets budget deficits, or it just moves off the books.
You know, folks, we're not trying to be controversial here. Jim is a reporter. I mean, I'm an editorialist, you know, and I mean, he's a journalist. I'm just an editorialist. We're not trying to be controversial. These are just facts.
It is true, and sometimes I think maybe they should bring in the FBI to raid overnight and collect the books. But I'm saying that's just the way it works. I'm saying there's a huge shell game that always goes on, and it has for many years.
Yep.
Social Security, it's off the books, it's on the books, you know.
We've got to find a way to shine some light on these things, ladies and gentlemen. Otherwise, you know, we're going to wake up one of these days and we're going to be out of control. We may already be and not know it. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm not trying to be, you know, dour here. But I'm just telling you, folks, these are things. Here's the main thing to me as we go to the break. How can we think that the government could run General Motors or any other part of any industry as they seem to be wanting to do right now? They can't even run their own business. So this is why I've been saying for a long time, we've sailed into a perfect storm. Tin Tail, stay with us.
Gonna climb a mountain.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Jim Ostroff is our guest. He's with the Kiplinger Editors. And Jim, one of the things we were talking about earlier is the increase in bankruptcies, corporate bankruptcies. And, you know, I was at a resort in Vegas this week at a conference. And while I was there, it was a beautiful property, and it was, I kept noticing how beautifully appointed it was. I mean, all the detail of the opulence of this place was just really nice. And I thought, boy, this must have been an expensive thing to build. And then I found out while I was there that the company that owns this property and at least one other sister property had it went into bankruptcy not too long ago.
But
whenever I hear about that, whenever I hear about Donald Trump, bankrupting something, which he does every two or three years, he does something like that. Whenever I think about that, like General Motors going bankrupt, Jim, this week, mm-hmm. You know what my first thought is? How many small business vendors got caught holding an account, some accounts receivable, some inventory they just delivered, expecting to be paid in 30 to 60 days? How many small business owners were put out of business? How many small business owners literally had to go into bankruptcy because some big customer left them holding the bag? And you guys reported on a device that could help them with that. Talk to us about that.
Well, it's called trade credit insurance. And, you know, we say, think about it. And the thing, this is an insurance policy that covers accounts receivable. You know, if a cu- customer goes out of business. And, you know, in the U.S., small amount, maybe 10% of all firms carry trade credit insurance. In Europe, it's, you know, most companies. But no surprise, you know, that applications for this type of insurance are really growing very rapidly.
Yeah.
Because companies realize, exactly as you said, they, for nothing that they have ever done, they could come into the office one day and say, you know, this huge receivables, it's gone.
Here's the thing, Jim. We have insurance for fire. We have insurance for a storm, for a tornado to blow us away. We have insurance for floods and hurricanes and all that sort of thing. There's a much more likelihood that your business will experience a catastrophic failure of one of your big customers than it is that you'd be blown away by a tornado or burned up.
Oh, yes, and that the ebbs and flows, but that is a real concern.
Talk to your insurance agent, ladies and gentlemen, and write this down, trade credit insurance. Ask them about that. If they don't know anything about it, keep asking somebody till you do. Find somebody who can tell you what it is. Now, I don't know what the cost is. It's not going to be cheap. I can imagine it's not going to be cheap. But check on it and make sure that you at least make a decision to go or no go. Don't get caught by surprise. Jim, let's move over and I want to talk about the energy. Let's skip a couple of things and talk about the energy thing here on page 3. You guys report on energy. Is not just some of the big technology breakthroughs is not just going to be in the creation of energy, like I talked about earlier, right. Alternative energy, and as you guys have reported on biofuels, it's going to be on something else, isn't it? On the storage.
On storage, in short, to make wind and solar and other alternative electricity sources really viable and grow, we have to find a way to be able to store the electricity at some point. And the reason being, for instance, is there are many times that the wind, for instance, the wind is blowing the biggest gusts at night, and so the most, and that's when most of the electricity often is made.
Right.
But that coincides with the low point in demand during the day.
Well, see, so, Jim, just like as in an automobile, they've figured out how to give electric powered automobiles acceleration and speed. But that comes at a cost of energy, and the automobile the range of these cars are limited because of the storage of the batteries.
Exactly. So we're talking about better batteries that would allow people, for instance, to charge your car and hold it, you know, running just on electricity for hundreds of miles, not 40 miles as it is today, But in terms of power grid, so much of the electricity is literally wasted now because it doesn't have anywhere to go. At that instant, demand is not there.
Right.
If you could store it, I got to say that, one, you take care of that issue, but also it allows the key point is finding ways to allow that old energy business to operate in a profitable, commercially viable
way. This is an area that the United States ought to lead the world in, and I hope that we can focus on that more in the future. Hey, Jim Ostroff, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Jim Ostroff, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too, but it'll be tomorrow. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that a ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships were made for.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.